Diodata, the song is entitled September 13. I thought we'd get a bit of September 13 as we find out about how cranberries may be coming to the rescue. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, cranberries to the rescue. Medical News Today is telling us about it, and y'all know we've been talking about these super bugs, these bacteria that we have trained to resist our antibiotics. Yeah, and they're giving us a hard time now. We have trained them well. Y'all know how we've done it. Sometimes by eating the foods that we eat that are treated with antibiotics while they're living. And then we consume those animals when it's time to eat. And the antibiotics are still in them. So when we consume the beef that was once a cow or whatever meat we are consuming that was treated with antibiotics, it still has the antibiotic in it. So we eat the food, we eat the antibiotic too. And so the antibiotic is in our bodies doing what antibiotics do when they don't need to be doing anything. And therefore, the bacteria in our bodies, and we all have bacteria all the time, gets an opportunity to learn how to deal with the antibiotics when they're in us in kind of low dosages. Then on top of that, as we know, we've made the mistake of refusing to follow doctor's orders. And when we got sick and needed an antibiotic, we went to the hospital. Went to the clinic, visited the doctor. The doctor prescribed an antibiotic and said, take this for X number of days. Told us how many we needed to take each day and for how many days we needed to take it. Make sure you take all of it, the doctors would say. Don't stop taking them. When you feel better, take all of it. That's what they tell us. But no, we had to be hard-headed. Well, a lot of people had to be hard-headed. And when they started feeling better, they said, forget about this. I'm not taking the rest of these antibiotics. So we gave the antibiotics the chance they need. I'm sorry, the bacteria, the chance they needed to survive. We beat up on them enough that they stopped making us feel bad, but we didn't take the antibiotic long enough to just shut down the bacteria. And so the ones that survived learned how to deal with the antibiotic. And so the next time we took it, it was not as effective. And on it went. And so now, for those and other reasons, we're having a difficult time coming up with medications that help us beat up on the bacteria so that we'll do better. And it is serious, believe me. We'll be hearing about it. It is very, very serious. We're going to hear about it today. All right, so here we go. There's new research, and this is hopeful. This is encouraging. New research is finding that cranberry molecules make bacteria more sensitive to antibiotics. And this research reveals the twofold mechanism by which they do so. As it turns out, both the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization have deemed antibiotic resistance a global public health concern. Antibiotic resistance, ladies and gentlemen, is a global public health concern. The overuse of antibiotics both in humans and animals, has led to the emergence of drug-resistant superbugs, overpopulation, global migration, and poor sanitation are only some of the reasons why the drug resistance problem has escalated. That said, let me ask you this. You know, one of the precautions, how would you word it? One of the steps we could take to help fight this, combat this whole issue of superbugs, is by using regular, plain liquid soap rather than antibacterial soap, liquid soap. And you remember why they were saying this is the case, that we should just go ahead and use just plain liquid soap rather than antibacterial. Well, once you started hearing that and reading that, how did you respond? Did you go ahead and stop using the antibacterial soap and just start getting the regular plain liquid soap? Or did you continue to buy and use the antibacterial liquid soap? And remember now, the experts were telling us that we really don't need the antibacterial because our hands become clean enough just using the regular soap. And the disadvantage of using the antibacterial liquid soap is that we would have our hands, the natural bacteria, the natural part of our immune system on our hands, no longer able to do its job freely because it was, you know, basically you use it or you lose it. And so we're using the antibacterial soap that does a job that the fighting system of our immune system would automatically do, automatically and ordinarily, consistently. Then, well, we're saying to our body's immune system, well, we really don't need you to help us in this area anymore. We got something else to cover that. And so we basically reduce its ability, maybe even eliminate, but definitely reduce its ability to do what it was designed to do. So here we go. We're using antibacterial stuff when we don't need it, getting overloaded on antibiotics, and the situation is becoming dire. Some researchers go as far as to warn that we are on the cusp of returning to a pre-antibiotic era in which minor infections can once again become deadly. Minor infections may once again become deadly. Why? Because we'll no longer have the medicines that we need, the right type of medicines that we need to combat and defeat the bacteria that cause the infections. In this context, scientists have been trying to come up with innovative and sometimes unconventional solutions, turn into insects or even fish slime for compounds that could be deadly to superbugs. Now, researchers from McGill University in Quebec, in collaboration with the Institut National de la Recherche Scientifique in Montreal, both in Canada, have decided to explore the potential of cranberries for fighting off infections. Uh-oh, I can imagine some of you are thinking, I'm going to start buying me some more cranberry juice. Okay, hold on. Let's listen to the rest of the story. The widespread belief that cranberry juice helps treat urinary tract infections is what prompted Professor Tufenkji and team to study cranberries. So they chose UTI, pneumonia, and gastroenteritis causing bacteria, including Proteus mirabilis, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, and Escherichia coli for this study. Doesn't that sound dangerous? And that's what BN folks. They applied cranberry extract to bacterial cultures and saw that the cranberry molecules made the cultures more sensitive to antibiotics in two ways. Firstly, Cranberry extract made the membranes of the bacteria more permeable to the antibiotic. The cranberry extract made the membranes of the bacteria more permeable to the antibiotic. In other words, the antibiotic were able to penetrate the outer layer, the protective layer of the bacteria, more easily. Secondly, the cranberry extract disrupted the mechanism that bacteria typically use to eliminate the antibiotic. Normally, when they treat the bacteria with an antibiotic in the lab, according to Dr. Tufekci, the bacteria eventually acquire resistance over time. But when they simultaneously treated the bacteria with an antibiotic and the cranberry extract, no resistance developed. The dual action of the cranberry extract made it effective even at lower doses. After discovering these mechanisms in cell cultures, the scientists replicated the findings in an insect model. They worked first with cell cultures, just cells. Then they were able to accomplish the same results in an insect model. The study's co-author, who's a professor of microbiology, explained that the activities are generated by molecules that are called proanthocyanidins. There are several different kinds of proanthocyanidins, and they may work together to deliver this outcome. The professor says that they're going to need to do more research to determine which ones are most active in synergy with the antibiotic. And so far, and that's why I said, hold up, when I said, yeah, I know some of you are probably thinking about going out and buying you a bunch of cranberry juice, but notice now, they're letting us know that the cranberry juice extract and the antibiotic work together to produce those results. So it wasn't just cranberry. It wasn't just cranberry extract. It was a cranberry extract plus the antibiotic. Now, my guess is if this proves to be helpful, that's going to be really, really good. But we will still need to do our part to make it not only helpful in the moment, in the short term, but in the long term. I can just see some of us Homo sapiens saying the same thing that we said before. Whoa, this cranberry extract and this antibiotic combination has me feeling good. So even though my doctor told me to take it for 5 days, I'm going to stop now. It's been only 3 days, but I'm going to stop now because I feel good. I don't need any more. All right, so that said, let's pick up on something else that has to do with health matters. And this is something that Medical News Today is sharing with us. It has to do with our lungs, breathing. You know, I often share with you that we really only have one earth, just one earth, one climate, and we need to be doing everything in our power to keep our earth as safe, as clean, as healthy as possible. All that makes up our earth, this place in which we live, including our water, including our air. And here's the thing. I know that some of us are concerned about our health, and that's a good thing. We all should be. We're also concerned about, even more specifically, what's happening with our blood vessels. Now check this out. There are some new findings that indicate that smog, that ugly stuff that we see so clearly when we're flying into the LA airport, it largely consists of ambient ozone. And that's no swipe at California or LA, even LA's airport. But I mention that because I know that the smog can be so easily seen and so frequently seen there that I know that if a lot of you have flown into LA's airport, you know what I'm talking about. Smog, largely consisting of ambient ozone. This stuff can lead to atherosclerosis, which is a cardiovascular condition. Atherosclerosis is the result of fatty deposits, such as cholesterol, fat, or cellular waste, accumulating inside a person's arteries. Now, we know that our arteries are designed to carry blood, stuff like that, but cholesterol, nah, fat, no. Cellular waste, that stuff shouldn't be building up inside of our arteries. Over time, the buildup of plaque inside the blood vessel's walls thickens the arteries. As a result, there's a restriction on blood, nutrients, and oxygen that would normally reach the rest of the body. Blood, nutrients, oxygen sent throughout the entire body by way of the arteries. Those arteries get filled up with junk. That makes it hard for the good stuff to make it through. That's atherosclerosis. It can lead to more dangerous cardiovascular events such as coronary heart disease, peripheral artery disease, heart attack, stroke. While researchers don't yet know what triggers atherosclerosis, factors such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and cigarette smoking are believed to cause much of the damage. New research points the finger at another possible culprit, air pollution. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is serious. We truly need to keep our air clean. All the air clean. The air by every neighborhood in the country. Every neighborhood needs to have clean air in and around it. Dr. Ming Wang, who's an assistant professor of epidemiology and environmental health at the University at Buffalo School of Public Health, is studying this. Wang and colleagues clinically followed 6,619 adults who were aged 45 to 84 years and who did not have cardiovascular disease or any other conditions at the start of the study. They followed the participants for a mean period of 6.5 years as part of the multi-ethnic study of atherosclerosis in which the participants had enrolled. They came from six cities across the United States: Winston-Salem, North Carolina; New York City, New York; Baltimore, Maryland; St. Paul, Minnesota; Chicago, Illinois; and Los Angeles, California. They used statistical models to capture whether there are significant associations between ozone exposure and atherosclerosis. The model suggests that there is an association between long-term exposure to ozone and progression of atherosclerosis. Specifically, the study found an association between chronic ozone exposure and an increased rate of carotid wall thickness progression and risk of new plaque formation. These results suggested arterial injury in the carotid arteries, the two large vessels that supply blood to the head and neck, is what was going on. Arterial injury in the carotid arteries. This may indicate that the association between long-term exposure to ozone and cardiovascular mortality that has been observed in some studies is due to arterial injury and acceleration of atherosclerosis. Dr. Wang goes on to point out that the researchers admit that they're in the dark regarding what may cause the link. They can show that there is definitely an association between ozone exposure and its outcome, but the biological mechanism for the association is not well understood. To their knowledge, this is the first epidemiological study to examine the link between ozone exposure and subclinical vascular disease. In other words, the injuries that damage the artery walls before a heart attack or a stroke occurs. According to the American Lung Association, ground-level ozone also damages lung tissue when we breathe it in. Frequently referred to as smog, ozone is a gas molecule that harms lung tissue by chemically reacting to the lung tissue. Back in a few.